Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, two stories next from the United States. First, Donald Trump has said he expects to be arrested today over a hush money payment made to the adult film star Stormy Daniels, decrying the moves by the Manhattan grand jury believed to be close to indicting the former US president. Trump took to his own social media platform Truth Social to denounce his accusers as animals and thugs. Also in Washington, the Biden administration is pushing TikTok's Chinese owners to sell the app or face a possible ban. Now, the owners of TikTok are going to appear before Congress this week, and they're likely to reveal that there are now 150 million active American TikTok users. And to that end, I see in the last few minutes that the Dutch government has told bureaucrats to remove TikTok from their phones. Well, I'm joined now by Terry Sheridan, who's news director at WSHU Public Radio. And in a moment, I'll speak to Lee McGarren, journalist with Silicon Republic. But first, Terry, to you, and back to that Donald Trump story. Remind us firstly what he's accused of.
Well, he's accused of making a $130,000 hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. This happened just before the 2016 election. Daniels said that they had an extramarital affair. Now, Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer and his fixer, paid the money out of his own pocket, then reimbursed by the Trump Organization. Donald Trump signed the checks. Cohen went to prison for his role in this hush money. What the case is, it's a two-pronged, unique legal situation. One is that the Manhattan District Attorney might, we don't know that that's actually going to happen, might bring charges for business fraud, filing false records to cover up that payment.
Terry, I'm going to just stop you there because the line just isn't great, so we might just try and get you back on a better line. And in the meantime, I'm going to speak to Lee McGarren, who, as I said, is with us now from Silicon Republic. Lee, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I just want to talk to you about TikTok. So much talk about TikTok, and now we see the Dutch government telling its bureaucrats, its staff, to get TikTok off their phones. And the question is TikTok harvesting data in a different way to other social media platforms?
Well, that's the biggest concern from lots of governments currently. It's hard to say exactly if it's taking more data than other social media platforms, but the biggest concern is that due to its links with ByteDance, a Chinese-owned company, there's a security concern that TikTok is sharing user data with the Chinese government. So that's the biggest concern. So we've seen a lot of bans in recent months by government, not for general users. It's more just a concern that there's a risk of surveillance. There hasn't exactly been a confirmation on this. The US is definitely the biggest pusher of this theory that there's a definite risk that TikTok's data is being used for surveillance purposes by the Chinese government. But it's unclear if that's an actual definite, but it's a big enough risk that a lot of governments have banned it for government workers anyway.
Because the EU Commission banned it because they discovered that the data that TikTok harvests is available in Singapore and China. Now, that's unusual because normally social media platforms, the data that they take from users is available in EU data centres. Is that right?
That is it. Until around November, it was believed that the data, European data, was only in Singapore and the US. But then it became revealed that it's available to employees in China and various other countries, which is obviously a serious risk for European data laws. That was sort of the tipping point, particularly for the European Commission. But the concerns around TikTok and its connection to ByteDance and Chinese government has been around for a while. Obviously, the US total ban risk right now is the biggest move we've seen.
Tell me about ByteDance. Why is that important?
Well, ByteDance is a Beijing-based company, and it has the majority ownership of TikTok. So the fears is that ByteDance has connections with the Chinese Communist Party and Chinese government. And through that connection, TikTok data potentially could be available for surveillance purposes in China. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest concern right now. So the US is obviously pushing a potential alternative to a ban, being that ByteDance sells its shares in the US version of the app.
But do we know whether TikTok is taking any more of our data than Facebook or Instagram?
I would say, personally speaking, based on my reporting on a lot of these social media platforms, I'd say most of these platforms take more data than people realize. For the general user, the amount of data that these platforms take is far more than people realize. There was a report last August that when people use in-app browsers on Facebook and Instagram, it can actually see what you're typing on other websites if you're using those browsers. And these are things that most people wouldn't be aware of. So I would say the spotlight is on TikTok currently for various reasons. It is possible that it's taking more data than others, but I would say people generally should be aware of the fact that data is a very valuable commodity, and a lot of these platforms take more data than people realize. Because most people don't look at the terms and conditions when they sign it.
Well, we don't. I mean, the bulk of us don't. I know some people are very diligent about that. For the bulk of people, though, you press accept. Oh, really? You don't? Okay. I'm heartened by that.
No, most people don't. I mean, again, it's pages and pages of details. Most people just, you know, want to actually use the platform. So, and again, it's not exactly too risky, but, you know, data is a valuable commodity, and these platforms definitely profit on people's willful ignorance, let's call it, myself included.
Yeah, I see that the CEO of TikTok, who is Xiaoji Chu, is going to give evidence before Congress, as we're saying, later this week. And he's going to talk about how embedded the app is in the lives of Americans, that there are 150 million active users in the United States, and they spend about 90 minutes a day, up to 90 minutes a day, using TikTok. Can the app survive without those American users?
I would say it can survive, but it would be a significant loss. I mean, that's 150 users. TikTok has roughly 1 billion worldwide, but it would be a very significant hit, not just for its user base, but also there are full-time content creators that post very valuable content for the platform. They'd lose their full-time jobs, and also TikTok would lose valuable videos and the like. The other issue is similar to how we've seen governments kind of keep banning the app for its for government workers. This has the risk of a snowball effect, I believe. If the US does a full ban, it puts more scrutiny on other countries looking at the app and getting more concerned about security risk. So we could see a snowball, other countries start looking at full potential bans as well, just because of the security risks. So this is a big problem for TikTok, and I'd say they'll be doing everything they can to get away from this ban. But also they've said that ByteDance selling their shares in TikTok, firstly, is very, very difficult because of the amount of shareholders involved. And secondly, there's no guarantee that's going to fix the data security concerns that the US is saying is a big issue right now. So it's hard to know what the solution is.
Lee, thank you very much. Lee McGarren there from Silicon Republic. And we have Terry Sheridan back from the United States. Terry, thank you very much for bearing with us while we got you on a clearer line. So you were telling us about Donald Trump. He said on his social media platform, Truth Social, that they were coming to get him, i.e. arrest him on Tuesday. That's today. But we don't know when or if he will be charged at this point, do we?
That's absolutely true. He said it was Tuesday. Now, all the signs indicate that he could, and I'm going to say could, be indicted sometime this week. It doesn't look like now that it's going to be today, because the several witnesses said that they've been called back for tomorrow. But again, this is all related to the payment to Stormy Daniels, the adult film actress made by Michael Cohen, Trump's former fixer. So it's facing two charges. One would be the falsification of business records through the Trump Organization. The second one would be if that falsification was made to cover up a second crime, that would be a felony. In this case, it would be an in-kind campaign donation by Michael Cohen to Trump.
Yes, and if he were arrested, I know there is a fear and some speculation because he has called on people to protest against his potential arrest. How well-founded are those fears that there could be mass protests?
Well, on the one hand, they're very well-founded. We've seen what has happened before, specifically on January 6th. On the other hand, what we're seeing in the Twitterverse and from statements made by various Republican leaders and various MAGA leaders is that they may or may not come out. Some are, but they're afraid either that, one, it's going to make Trump look bad. The other thing is that there is a fear among those who are protesting that Trump won't cover them, won't cover their backs. You know, they say that he has provided no help to the January 6th defendants.
Now, what happens to his attempt to run for president again if he is arrested? Does it affect that?
Absolutely not. There is no clause in the Constitution that says that he cannot run, that a felon, either someone who's been indicted, charged, or convicted, cannot run for president. Yes, it might be hard to run for president from a jail cell, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says he can't do it. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says he can't serve as president. It would bring up a whole bunch of problems later. But right now, if he is convicted and in jail cell, he could run and he could be elected president.
Extraordinary. And he's still leading in the polls for who will be the Republican nominee. Isn't he around 44% and his closest rival is down in the 20s?
That's correct. That would be Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The latest poll numbers show Trump anywhere in the low 40s among Republican voters. He might get a bump because of this from his base. But the question is, well, would this damage him in the long run in the general election?
Terry, good to talk to you again. Terry Sheridan there, news director at WSHU Public Radio. We were talking earlier about Boris Johnson and the fact that he's going to be before the Privileges Committee tomorrow. There's a slot, a 5-hour slot reserved for him to give evidence around Partygate and whether he misled Parliament on his statements about parties in Downing Street at the time when there were COVID lockdowns. Now, interestingly, they've just published his dossier, 50-page dossier that he submitted to the committee in advance of his appearance. And he says in that dossier that he did mislead the House of Commons when he said lockdown rules had been followed in number 10. But he insisted that the statements were in good faith. In other words, he says that he was relying on advice from his officials. And he says, "It's unprecedented and absurd to say it is reckless of me to rely on assurances from advisers." He says it's clear from the Sue Gray investigation that there's no evidence that all the supports that at all that supports an allegation that I intentionally or recklessly misled the House. That's an interesting take on that from Boris Johnson. "I did mislead the House. I didn't know that I was misleading the House, and I did so on the advice of officials," which I'm sure they're delighted about being thrown under the bus today and tomorrow when we get him in front of that committee and hear what he has to say. We'll take a break. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.